Good evening, Mike Malloy here on the Friday edition of the Malloy Program. Thanks for tuning in. We will talk about Kathy's procedure a little bit later. But right out of the box tonight, I want to bring on Mike Papantonio, who is co-host along with Bobby Kennedy Jr. and David Bender of the program. I'm sure most of you are familiar with Ring of Fire. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Let me turn this thing off. There we go. Mike lives in Pensacola, Florida, and among other things, it's going to be past tense here pretty soon, Mike, a scuba diver in the Emerald Coast, the so-called Emerald Coast that is about to be inundated. One of the reasons we got a hold of Mike today tonight to be on the program, I saw him, I saw Bobby Kennedy Jr., Mike, on Rick Sanchez's program, CNN. You know, nothing bad about Sanchez, but the way the questioning was going, it was though Sanchez was trying to find some kind of balance point between...
Yeah, it's the CNN formula for failure.
It really is. I mean, there is no balance point here between this disaster that is turning out to be an absolute monster and America's insatiable desire for oil, and that's what he was trying to do. So we asked Mike to come on tonight to talk about this disaster. You're on the easternmost boundary of what may be. I mean, you guys may get this.
We're going to be we're right in target. You know, Mike, what people don't realize is Bobby Kennedy and I handle these cases all over the country. I mean, they know of the show Ring of Fire, but the truth is we handle some of the biggest class action environmental cases in America. I mean, literally, and that's, you know, from east to west coast. And so the reason both of us are in this one, obviously, it just happens to be my backyard, but I was initially hired in the case in Louisiana several days ago. And what we do is we do the workup on the case and actually try the case. And so that's my involvement. But I mean, the storyline on this is appalling. I mean, you've got the Deepwater Horizon. They had two trip devices that were used to supposedly blow out a catastrophic problem like this. Both of them failed, either because of human error or because of defect. BP didn't want to spend the money to put an absolute fail-safe trigger system on here, Michael. It's a trigger device. It's called a acoustic switch. It's used all over the world except in the United States. For example, if you go to Norway and you want to drill there, you can't build the drilling unit out there without having an acoustic switch. And what it means is it remotely triggers an explosion that closes up the rig's pumping capability, completely, utterly close it down. Anywhere you go in industrialized world, you're going to find the pump where you find them pumping oil from the sea. You're going to find this device on rigs, including, and here's the real edge, including the rigs that are owned by British Petroleum, except in the United States, where they treat us like a third world country.
Now, let me just jump in right there, because I think I heard Bobby say today on Sanchez's program that the reason this device was not included is because the Bush administration turned its back on all these regulations, all these fail-safe devices, and the BP and none of the oil rigs wanted to put this on, so the Bush administration said, fine.
Do you remember the closed-door meetings that
Cheney had?
Yeah. Okay. Some of the stuff we're learning now is coming from there. And one thing is his directive to the Mineral Management Service. And, you know, it all flows from the top.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, the reason we don't have to have, the reason BP didn't have to have the acoustic switch is because the Mineral Management Service was keeping in line with the Cheney Energy Program, and they told the industry, look, gee, you don't have to be as safe as the rest of the world. You can do something that's basically in line with the third world. No need for special safety switches. They're too expensive. That was the argument that a company that's making $40 billion a year was making, that we can't afford this $500,000 switch. So now, in the most perfect scenario, if I were to say to you, Mike, what's the most perfect break we're going to get? At best, we're going to hope to recover 20% of the projected 20 to 30 million gallons of crude oil in the Gulf of Mexico that connects directly up to the rivers and estuaries where all the spawning takes place all over the Gulf Coast. And so along with that, you've got millions of gallons of cleanup fluids. They call them dispersants, but basically what it is, it's a toxin that forms, and it actually kills marine life. In addition to that, we don't know how dangerous it is for a cumulative effect in the human body. So here we have something that was completely avoidable,
mm-hmm.
and the real tragedy is the media is missing the story. Yeah, I mean, we obviously we get it. It's a disaster, it's a catastrophe of the ecosystem. It's a catastrophe of the fishing industry, the shrimping industry, oysters harvested. You name it, it's a catastrophe. But what about the story?
Mm-hmm.
What about the story that the reason this happened is because we had a bunch of corporatist Republicans in charge of the program for 8 years, and in 2003, this is one of the things that those corporatists did. They took away regulatory protections from the American people on things like this. It's no different from the same thugs we saw lined up behind the Goldman Sachs story, or the same thugs we see every time the FDA announces that, gee whiz, we called it wrong, the product, our pharmaceutical product has killed another 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. And that story's not going to be covered by mainstream media. You know why. Kennedy knows why. I know why. A lot of people that are struggling with what corporate media has become, we understand this. That story's not going to be told. The thing that is horrifying, in addition to that story, we're not talking, you know, a lot of comparisons to Exxon Valdez. Exxon Valdez dumped their oil up against a shoreline. This
right.
is not a shoreline.
Right.
This is mud. This is an estuary as my understanding, goes from the where the sea meets the estuary all the way back about 30 miles. Once that's gone, there's no recovery.
Yeah. Well, I add to that, it's one of the most fragile estuary areas in the world. It's its own ecosystem. It's a wetland that provides water for all of the South. I mean, it's where we get our aquifer. So, I mean, the real issue is the media now, you know, you almost listen to the media sometimes. You say, gee, this is an aberration. Well, no, it's not an aberration.
No.
How about 800 plus disasters like this in the last few years that we don't even, hasn't even been reported?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Michael, think about this. Do you know why they were so, at the first couple days, oh, there's no problem here, you know, this is not a big deal? What they were doing is the thing they do all the time. When there's a spill, the policy is try to delay disclosure as long as you can. The damn thing's at 5,000 feet, okay? At 5,000 feet, they say, okay, if we can cap it off with just 45,000 gallons today, then maybe we're going to be okay. So nobody asked the question, how often does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
They were in the same, look, I know, I have the blueprint. The blueprint is deny, 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 try to cap it off, try to say nothing has happened. That's why for 3 days the Coast Guard was telling us there's no problem, the company was telling us there's no problem, and the media, who was brain dead, was telling us there's no problem. But there was a problem because it's the same blueprint that all of the rigs use when they have a disaster like this. We simply don't get the whole picture. This was so outrageous that we do get the picture. I mean, it's in our backyard right now.
Mm-hmm. As monstrous as this event is, and as irreparable as this damage is going to be, and the fact that 250,000 gallons a day now, it's my understanding, is spewing out of this this hole in the floor of the ocean. Is there any upside to any of this at all?
Michael, I'd love to say there is. I'd love to say there is because I live here, okay?
Right.
But I have to put my lawyer hat on, and this is what I do for a living. I do it all over America.
Right.
And if I, and the best, Bobby Kennedy and I work with the best experts, not just in America, but in the world. And when they're telling me that not only, it's not just 250,000 gallons anymore. This thing has evolved into a sure enough gusher. If you take a look at the pictures that Noah's showing right now, it looks like a damn volcano coming from the bottom of the ocean. Okay, well, here's the deal. Ignore the surface, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
The surface has nothing to do with the big picture.
Wait, Mike, hold it right there. Ignore
what you're saying.
Ignore the surface. Let me do a break. We'll come right back and pick this up, all right?
All right,
we're talking to Mike Papantonio from Ring of Fire, co-host with Bobby Kennedy, David Bender. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Do you be fine?
It is 21 past the hour. We're talking with Mike Papantonio, who, along with Bobby Kennedy Jr., David Bender, co-hosts of Ring of Fire, that you can hear on various radio outlets around the country, also on Sirius and XM. He is also a prosecuting attorney, a litigant attorney, who has worked with Kennedy to file damage suits. And we can get this in a second, because I want to go back to oil on the surface. But it's my understanding, Mike, that you and Kennedy, along with the lawyer, other lawyers, filed a lawsuit against BP 2 days ago.
Well, we were, Bobby and I were actually hired to actually go prosecute the suit. I mean,
okay.
there's part of the discovery and the trial that has to take place. We typically get involved at that level. So,
okay.
But they're the first cases that were filed in America, and so we're in it that way.
Now, the oil on the surface that is all we see, and it looks bad, but it you were about to tell us it doesn't begin to describe
the problem,
it.
Mike. Right. You've got everybody focuses on the surface, but truthfully, there are different layers that this oil settles to. You have things called thermoclines, for example, that move through the Gulf Coast. You have thermocline is just a different temperature gradient from the various levels of water. You have the Gulf Stream that moves in a particular direction. You have predominant tides. All that does is it takes the oil off the bottom or from the center, and it moves it in directions that are completely unpredictable. Well, they're predictable, but you don't see where they're moving.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever been to Corpus Christi, where you walk down the beach and they have these tar balls and this disgusting Texas.
No, and I'm a better person for it. I've never seen that.
Oh, well, it's disgusting. I mean, that's another reason not to go to Texas. But the point being is that what that is that's at the bottom of the Gulf, constantly this oil is breaking loose and coming on the shore. It's constant. It goes on for decades.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other part that is being missed here. But Mike, here's the big picture. For us, here's what I see for us. We have a Gulf Coast that's still struggling to recover from a $110 billion loss from Katrina. We have a dead zone already the size of New Jersey that's been out there for a decade that was also created by the petroleum industry and the chemical industry. The dead zone has just completely devastated the fishing industry.
Now, that's the sewer that the Mississippi River brings all these farm chemicals that the oil industry produces. That's what you're talking about.
That's correct.
Right.
It's more than that, though. If people don't realize, they have something called Chemical Alley right outside New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
and it's just this broad expanse of every
where the
chemical,
refinery, where the refineries
yeah, the refinery
are.
Carpetbaggers go to the south. They say, gee, we want to give you a job. Yes, it's probably going to kill you. It's going to kill your environment. It's going to kill your quality of life and your culture. But we're going to give you a job.
Right.
So they come down there and they dominate that whole area. So that's where the dead zone comes from. On top of that, you've got just the regular problems that exist in the Deep South right now. You know, economic catastrophe, foreclosure catastrophe, record-level joblessness. And you've got that Deep South dysfunctional Republican politics that's decimated our environment. Now it stands to decimate an entire southern coastal culture because this all flows from the same kind of drill, baby drill stupidity that's been promulgated by the people in charge of the Republican Party. I mean, let's call it what it is. Do you hear Rubio? Do you hear Marco Rubio or Sarah Palin or Bobby Jindal talking about any of this nowadays? Of course not.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, this whole picture, the picture, it all ties together with this. The solid Deep South has been a victim of this type of corporate thuggery for decades now.
Sure,
and every
sure.
now and then it surfaces, every now and then it does, and it did here.
Mm-hmm.
The last case we tried was the Mr. Go case down in New Orleans, the Katrina case, where the entire damn city was washed away because the Army Corps of Engineers and a few corporations allowed it to happen. So, I mean, it's the same story, Mike. You just change the names, you change the places. It's like the verdict that Bobby and I got up in West Virginia, a $400 million verdict against DuPont, where DuPont came in and virtually destroyed an entire city, killed the people who live there, killed their culture, killed their income, and then walked away from it and said, golly, I'm sorry. It's just a matter, Michael, of changing the names. The same scenario. Here you've got the government just as dysfunctional, not doing their job. Every time you see one of these environmental stories, you'll see this revolving door.
Mm-hmm.
Joe worked for Conoco. Conoco then says, Joe, we want to get you a job with the Mineral Management Service. And then, or it's just the reverse of that. Joe, if you give us a break, we're going to give you and your buddy a job when you come out. It is the same cronyism that's driven by deregulation that we see in virtually every industry in America right now. And it didn't just happen, Michael. Mm-hmm. We didn't wake up one day and this was on us. We woke up because this has been a course of conduct for 8 friggin' years under the Republicans. And you know what? I wish I could say Obama was awake and active and angry enough to do something about it, but his slow plodding recovery is driving me nuts. Yeah, this is an example of it.
Maybe this will have the effect of cold water in his face. Can you hold on again?
Sure.
All right, Mike. We'll come back after the break. We're talking with Mike Papantonio, one of the co-hosts of Ring of Fire, environmental program that actually sues the hell out of people when they do things like this. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. It is about 25 before the hour. This is the Malloy program. We're talking with Mike Papantonio, one of the co-hosts with Bobby Kennedy and David Bender of Ring of Fire, also a plaintiff's attorney in so many of these lawsuits against these predatory bastards that that now run the United States. All right, the story, as you mentioned last segment, Mike, the story that media are missing is the fact that this was highly preventable. Had there been in place rules and regulations to allow these oil companies to continue to make billions of dollars of profit, but still maintain some sort of safety or preventive measures, it wouldn't have taken billions of dollars to install a blowout preventer on that oil rig, and God only knows what it's going to cost, this event's going to cost.
Well, you know, here, I remember today I interviewed with Bloomberg, and here's what I told him. I said, listen, what's happening is that you have a new corporate mentality in America. The corporate mentality is short-term, maximize profit, because most of these CEOs are on, a 5-year program. Mm-hmm. Go in, try to maximize as much as you can, get paid big bonus, and move. That is a new concept in corporate America. It's not sustainable. The issue is not do they come in and build a company in a sustainable long-term future. It is living 10K quarter to 10K.
Right.
And if they do that, the way they do that is they go in and they cut costs. And that's one very clear way they do it. The other way they do it is they hustle the U.S. government into externalizing all of their risks. For example, you know, when a company does something like this and they can get away with it and we don't know about it, they simply take their polluted air and the community has to then figure out how to clean it up. Mm-hmm. They come into a town, they take the water supply and they pollute the water supply, and then they leave town and the community has to clean it up. It's called externalizing risk, and so that's another thing they do. But the point, Mike, is this. The point, it is a new way of thinking in corporate America because it's all short timers. I don't care whether you're dealing with the pharmaceutical industry, mm-hmm. the auto industry, the environment, you know, the petroleum industry. It all moves from one corporation to the other without any long-term sustainable ideas. So because of that, $40 billion wasn't enough for these pigs at the trough. You see, mm-hmm. they wanted to save another $500,000 that it would have cost them to put in a system, an acoustic switch system, that would have absolutely, unquestionably stopped this entire event. And you know what? Yesterday, they lost $26 $1 billion because of it, and tomorrow they'll lose another $30 billion, and it is possible that they won't pull through this.
Now, this is with their stock price dropping?
Yes. Right. And you know what? The CEO will leave this company and go to work for another company.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, they all come out of Yale and Harvard with these MBAs and these degrees, and they have one thing in mind. It's not to go into a company and build a sustainable long-term infrastructure. It's not to have that company prosper. It is to extract as much as they can from that corporation in their 5 years, and at the same time show increased, but I don't care if it's a fraction of a penny every quarter, that's how they get mm-hmm. paid.
All right.
So it's a whole new way of thinking, Michael.
Let me ask you kind of an overarching question then. I think you and I are on the same page that these corporate predators are absolutely, utterly, irrevocably destroying not just the economy, but the cohesiveness that used to be in this economy or in this country. They're destroying attitude. They're destroying the political system. So, big question, how can we stop this?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to rebuild the media. Because, look, when there are watchdogs that are telling the story, when you have something that is ugly as, let's call it what it is, when you have something as ugly as creeping fascism mm-hmm. that is bought and paid for by corporate America, do you think these crazy nuts that show up at teabagger parties, do you think that's mom and pop? That's AIG insurance. That's the healthcare industry. That is the petroleum industry. When these people show up, somebody buys and pays them to be there. Now, when is the last time that you saw the media connect those dots? Now, every day, Mike, you and I deal with stories that we look at and we say, well, you know, are we going to see this on tonight's news?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no.
Right.
So the first point is you have to have Mike Malloy's on every station in America. You have to have Rachel Maddow's and Ed Schultz and Stephanie Miller's and people like me and Bobby. We have to have a presence.
Mm-hmm.
We have to build something to where we can talk about issues without 30-second sound bites, and we can have smart people like the people who listen to your program analyze and understand the risk involved. It starts, Mike, I swear, I hate to oversimplify it, you have got to rebuild the media. And
well,
until you do that, look, you know what? People say, I go on Fox News probably 3-4 days a week. And they say, well, you know, what in the hell are you doing on Fox News?
Mm-hmm.
Well, all I'm doing is I'm trying to get talking points out to people who are listening, you know? And if it's 10 people listening, then that's a great success that day on Fox, because the people who listen to me and listen to you, they don't listen to Fox. But if it's a huge success if we can get the story out in a way that runs contrary to the way that the mainstream media operates. I'm not oversimplifying when I say it begins with restructuring the media.
Oh no. I'm in total agreement. I mean, that was the whole idea about Air America back in the days when it was being put together. It didn't quite work out that way, but that was the original idea.
But look what good came out of it. I mean, you know. You're still at it. I'm still at it. Rachel Maddow, Al Franken, a bunch of great things came out of that.
Well, that's true. But in order to get this, trust me, I completely agree. In order to get this new media, it's getting worse. I mean, look at Rupert Murdoch, who is has such a powerful influence in this country. Look at the corporatization of media. I mean, as good as MSNBC is with some of their show hosts, you know, it's a joint venture. NBC is still owned, as far as I know, by General Electric.
Sure. What happens when Comcast gets them?
Right. Well, there you go. So what is a realistic way to rebuild media in this country?
It is to build an emerging secondary media. Just listen, a kid that's 18 to 35, do you think he's sitting in an easy chair watching the nightly news?
No, he's
surfing the net. He's seeing, okay, what did Mike Malloy do last night on his show? And he goes to something like Democratic Underground or wherever it may be, and he finds your clip.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he, but the beauty to that is it's working. It's slow. It's plodding. It's a generational difference.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom and your dad don't understand what I'm saying. They don't understand. There's a generational disconnect. We don't understand. I understand it because, and you understand it because this is what we work with every day.
Right.
18 to 35 year olds, those are the people we need to put everything into. Those are the people, if they're going to pull us out of this bullshit situation that we're in the United States, it's them. They take the time. You know, they may get their news on Jon Stewart. They may listen to Colbert. They may listen to me or you, but they're going to get it another way. And that's very encouraging to me.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Going back to the BP situation, how do you see this playing out on several levels? First of all, stopping this gusher, this volcano of oil, A. B. Rescuing the coast, the southeastern coast of the United States. C, the litigation to bring these bastards to heel. What do you see happening?
Okay, let me start with the easy one.
All
the
right.
easy one is the litigation. Listen, the team I've put together, they have the money, they have the talent. They're the most talented. We've assembled some of the most talented lawyers in America. The same people that I worked with, same quality of people I worked with on tobacco. When
right.
we settled, people said, "Pap, you're crazy. You're never, you know, tobacco. You're never going to."
And you got a, and you got
well,
a,
we did.
You got
we
a
did.
$200 billion settlement, right?
Okay. Well, this is the same thing here. We've assembled some great people. So I'm not worried about the litigation. We're going to look. There is no place for BP to hide from this team. I mm-hmm. promise you, there's no place for them to hide. The other part, though, is the damage that's done. My wife, I walk in the house and she's saying, "Well, what happens here?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the bad news. It's irreversible for 10 years. I mean, what's happened is already happened. Michael, they can't even stop the gusher, you understand.
Right.
This isn't a leak. This is a gusher.
Right.
Go online and take a look at the NOAA pictures. It's a gusher.
Mm-hmm.
It happened, and it's happening every day. If they stopped it right now, we'd have a 10-year problem, but they're not going to be able to stop it for weeks. So we have an entire ecosystem that is destroyed for all practical purposes. The other part of it, the other part of it is, yeah, I guess the other part of it is how do we live with it? Well, we have to rethink. We have to rethink about who is in control of this country. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to say, as much as you don't like to admit this, or I don't, Michael, we have to. We have lost control. We fight it every day.
Mm-hmm.
But we aren't in control of this company anymore. Exxon is, Pfizer is, Merck is. Rupert Murdoch is.
Mike, can you hold on another minute?
Yep.
Okay, hold on just a second. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We're talking with Mike Papantonio, one of the co-hosts with Bobby Kennedy, David Bender of Ring of Fire. Stay with us. Mike Papantonio, one of the co-hosts of Bobby Kennedy Jr. and David Bender of Ring of Fire, which, by the way, is on Saturdays, 2 p.m. Go to Ring of Fire, Google Ring of Fire, to find out where in your area you can hear this program. Bobby, Mike, are you on, you're on Sirius and XM, right?
No, we're not.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
But we've got pretty good coverage all over the country.
All right. Just Google Ring of Fire. You will find, where you can hear it. The bigger problem here, as horrible as this gusher is, a mile underneath the surface of the Gulf, the bigger problem, of course, is what you're talking about. The fact that corporate America has absolutely destroyed, and that's one of the themes that we've talked about in this program constantly. The Republicans are just, they're like zombies. They're pod people. The Democrats are not much better. What in the hell, besides media? How do we find people to get back into office, re-regulate this capitalist system, if we're going to stay with capitalism, where I think that's a mistake, but as long as we're going to do that, to re-regulate it with a great big wrench, tighten down on this bastard?
Well, first of all, we have to stop being delusional about the difference between Republicans and Democrats.
Right. Well,
I don't
yeah.
know if you saw today the Attorney General, Holder, who obviously has come up as a corporate type from the day he started practicing law. He's been beholden to every major corporation in America. He is one of the worst appointments that Obama has made. Because all he is an extension of corporate America. So today he comes out and he says, look, don't rush to sue this company. Don't rush to the courtrooms to bring class action lawsuits. He said, this is a time for preparedness and prayer.
Oh my God!
I swear, do you think BP is praying about, all they're praying about is how can they avoid losing billions of dollars? This is Eric Holder.
I had no idea he said that.
Oh yeah, this is Eric Holder, the guy that Obama has appointed. He's telling the best lawyers in America, me included, don't rush to the courtroom.
Yeah.
Let BP's gonna do the same thing.
It's almost like
he forgot what Exxon said after Exxon Valdez, the exact same thing. Don't rush to the courtroom. We're going to take care of you. Everything's going to be okay. And you know what? 26 years later,
right,
they still haven't cleaned up their problems.
That's right. What about Halliburton's? It's my understanding they were involved in running the operation on board that platform.
Oh, yeah. Look, how do you think Halliburton started showing up on every platform in America after Cheney had his secret Energy Council meeting that we still have not been able to get the notes for? Halliburton goes from a minimally important company to a company that touches everything,
mm-hmm.
including every. Why do you think they're on almost every oil platform in this country? It happened behind the very agreements that took place with Cheney. I mean, this isn't tinfoil hat stuff.
Yeah, is there any way that in discovery, when you guys do bring these lawsuits in, that you'll be able to
absolutely. Those let me just tell you something.
All right.
What was secret is a little less secret today.
And is it going to work out where in the discovery phase of this whatever trial comes next, that you'll be able to show that Cheney, behind closed doors, had a hand in turning all this over to corporate America?
Oh, yeah. Look,
any
number of people have tried to get to those documents.
Right, and can't.
The Supreme Court has protected,
right,
you know, Cheney all along the way. But this does change the caliber of inquiry. And so, yeah, the question is, was there an event that took place sometime after 2001 that changed the corporate culture, the way that the corporations dismissed the importance of safety? I mean, that's a very basic question.
Sure.
What was different between 1999 and 2001? What was different?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see that Cheney has his grubby little hands all over it. And, I mean, you know, this is not me talking. I mean, this has been written about in Time Magazine, Newsweek,
sure,
Nation Magazine.
Sure.
Everybody's covered
sure
the story. But it hasn't been, they don't, at the end of the story, they don't say, well, what does this mean?
Right.
Well, what this means is what we see happening in the Gulf right now. That's what it means.
And the part that worries me, it doesn't worry me, it infuriates me, and in addition to worrying me, is whether or not the American public whose very life, I mean, our lives, everything about this country is at stake if we don't connect these dots. Is the American public going to be able to do it, especially given this disaster? Are we ever going to be able to connect the dots?
Well, you know what? It'll be, yeah, we will. It'll be the next generation that looks back in some damn history book and says, oh, I see what happened, just like we're doing with Iraq, just like we did with Vietnam. just like we do with every occurrence that, you know, that we it's like we put blinders on as it's occurring. We don't even, hell, it's like we don't even see it's happening, and some cat in a history book 20 years later has to tell us
but,
what happened.
But you, more than a lot of people in this country, understand we don't have that 20 years anymore.
No, we don't.
We don't have, you know, it was 35 years ago today that Saigon fell. We don't have 35 years, Mike.
No, I believe me, I understand. But, you know, that's the sad part of it. That's the sad reality. Look, Mike, the people that are listening to you right now, that's the best hope we have. And thank goodness, it's a pretty solid hope.
Mm.
I come back to this concept of generational change. If 18 to 30-year-olds don't pull us out of this, we're SOL.
That's
I mean,
right.
You know, let's be honest with you. Our generation didn't. Our generation, you know, we were at Woodstock. We were, you know, protesting the Vietnam War. And the next thing we know, we're driving a friggin' Bentley and MBA, and we're working for Wall Street. I mean,
right,
you know,
right.
And all of a sudden we go from being a radical Democrat to a money-grubbing Republican.
Now,
I hope we can count on more for the next generation that comes through.
God,
that's all I hope.
I hope so, too. Mike, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
All right, take care. We'll talk again. Take care. Right. Mike Papantonio, Ring of Fire. Use your internets to find out where you can hear this program every Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, we're going to do podcast trivia where you can win a one-year subscription to the commercial-free podcast downloads of the Malloy program worth 25 cents each, or if you buy them on a yearly basis, under $60 a year for podcast subscriptions. So we'll be giving one away. We'll open up the lines at that point. excuse me. I can't think of anything that Mike Papantonio said that we don't discuss on this program every night. The corporate destruction of this country is ongoing. And he's right. About one glaring, truism. Everything Mike Papantonio says is the truth. But one glaring truism is how this disaster in the Gulf is just one little piece in the utter, absolute destruction of this country that is going on because of the grip, the death grip that corporate America has on us. I mean, there's no daylight between his position and mine on those issues, that issue. That's the overarching issue. So we'll have him on again. Now, because so many of you wrote about Kathy's condition, I'm just going to take a couple of minutes here and go through this. Yesterday at, it seems like a year ago, but yesterday at 4 o'clock in the morning, we got up, went to electrocardio unit at one of the big hospitals here in Atlanta, where we got there at like 6:30 in the morning. They checked her in at 8 o'clock. They took her into this enormous operating theater, not to do any cutting except in her groin to get these wires inside of her, but they had radiation special radiologists and her lead doctor and you know, there were about eight or nine people in there. It was reflected in our bill. which I'll tell you about in a second. She was in for about 3.5 hours. They had her under conscious sedation, but her surgeon told me that she slept through most of the procedure. They got the wires into her heart, found the problem, beat the living hell out of it with electrical surges in her heart. Actually, radio frequencies, not electricity, but sonograms. High frequency radio waves is how they destroy this tissue that shouldn't have been there. The tissue they decided was there because of a birth defect. So her surgeon says for the rest of her life now, this is not going to happen. Electrophysiologist, a cardio electrophysiologist. They don't, not a surgeon. Anyway, the insurance that we have through my union, and this is insurance that, again, it's through our union, will cover all but about $1,500, $1,700 of the cost. The cost on this is around $60,000. We had no idea going in that it would be that much, but and about 3/4 of that is the hospital costs. The all the technicians who worked with Kathy, there were 7 or 8 people in that room working with her, radiology people, because what they do is they encase her in exposed parts of her body in lead. And then begin this procedure, and it's a 2.5 hours, a 3-hour procedure of bombarding the area in radiation. Now, you know, not enough to cause any long term damage. Fluoroscopy. What did I say that's wrong? More specific. Fluoroscopy. All right. Anyway, after about 3.5 hours of this, what is he? He's not a surgeon. The electrophysiologist, the MD, the specialist, came out and still in his scrubs, and he sat down and he drew a diagram for me and showed me what the situation was and how they corrected it. And a couple hours later, after recovery, coming out of the sedation, and then they made Kathy lie flat for about 3 hours because of the fear of blood clots forming, and then she had to walk for about an hour, and then they sent us home. So the total cost on this, we found out, was around $60,000. The terrible, terrible part to all of this is, you know, we have insurance, and I'm not sure what how much does our insurance cost us a year, roughly. About under $3,000 a year is what we pay for insurance. We have friends who pay that much a month. So the insurance will pick up all but about just under $2,000. And we were talking to some people. What happens to people who have this condition that Kathy had and they can't come up with $60,000, $70,000? And the answer is very simply, the condition continues to deteriorate until they develop the general term of, oh, well, she or he has heart trouble. And then they die. And we were acutely aware of this the whole time that she was in there. And I was sitting in the area where they next of kin, family members sit. And we had to sign everything. Do you have advance directives? You understand the radiological impact of what you're going to get? Yada, yada, yada. I mean, all this stuff had to be done. And then, you know, I'm sitting there waiting, and most of the people waiting for these procedures, not just the ablation, but other procedures, are people in their 70s. I don't know where they get the money. I guess Social Security and some kind of supplemental insurance to pay for these procedures. But I'm sitting there thinking, were it not for the fact that I am a member of a strong union that takes care of its union members, and it were not for the fact that I've been a member of this union for coming up on 20 years and had this insurance, I don't know what we would have done. We would have gotten the money somewhere, sold our house and rented something. I mean, when your spouse, your child, your mother, whatever, is at risk because they need a procedure. I'm not talking about massive amounts of money spent for end-of-life care that serves no purpose. Kathy and I both have advanced directives against that. That's not going to happen with us. So it just was shocking to me to understand that were it not for this insurance, this wouldn't have happened. We could not have gotten this, and within 4 or 5 years, Kathy would be dead from this particular situation. Huh?
I just wanted to say I was so appreciative. Oh. I wanted to thank everybody who sent me emails and good wishes and beautiful pictures, and to those of you who actually sent cards and flowers to the house. Thank you so much. I have two things to say. You're wonderful, beautiful people. Thank you so much. And where did you get our home address?
Oh, God. Now the teabaggers and the militia types will want it, right? All right. So that's all I want to say about it. Just thanks to everybody who sent me an email offering support, emotional support through this. My son, Chris, had just finished all of his exams. He came over from South Carolina, took care of Molly while we did this. And, of course, now Molly wants to go live with Chris and his wife. But anyway, just wanted to give you the whole story. And we appreciate very much the kind of emotional support that we got from everybody. Okay? Hopefully it's a topic that will never, ever come up again. Because there's nothing worse than well, let me tell you about my operation. You know, there's nothing worse than that. Oh, my God. I have friends who say that to me. Let me tell you. And I say, no, stop. But because so many of you responded in a real positive way, just wanted to let you know. Okay? That's it. When we come back, we have all kinds of things to talk about. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. The hour. Yeah, it was 35 years ago today that Saigon fell to the bloodthirsty, ghoulish beasts from the north. Isn't that what we were told? 58,000 Americans died, a couple of million Vietnamese for what? I'll never forget those images. Bobby Jindal, huh? How about these freaks? Hey, all you Republicans, all you conservatives, all you drill baby drill people, huh? Where are you? Where are you, cowardly bastards, huh? And where are you, teabag freaks out in Arizona? You scum suckers who've been wandering around the country for the past 7 or 8 months with your dumbass misspelled signs talking about keeping the government out of people's private affairs, keeping that fascist Barack Obama from destroying the Constitution. Where are you, scum? You've got two big issues here, you scummy cowards. Huh? Show me your papers in Arizona. Where are you, Glenn Beck? Have you committed suicide yet, you freak? Have you taken your half-witted followers with you? Have you drunk the Flavor Aid yet, you rat bastard? And as far as this disaster that is unfolding in the Gulf of Mexico, Bobby Jindal, who had the absolute audacity, and every single Republican, where's Haley Barbour, huh? Talking about the stinking federal government. You phony little punks. Now you're screaming for the federal government, aren't you? What is Rick Goodhair Perry over in Texas going to do if great waves of this stuff come washing up on Galveston Island or all along the Texas coast? What are you punks, you little crybabies? What are you going to do now, huh? You don't want the federal government now? You don't want them now? I'll tell you what. What's his real name? Parish Janish Jindal. What's his first name? Haish Mamush. You call him Bobby. Bobby my ass. anyway, Governor Jindal, why don't you round up some people? Look around. Maybe you can get some of the people who are unemployed in the great state of Louisiana and send them out in rowboats with sponges, and they can sop up some of the oil, huh? You don't want the federal government. You don't want the National Guard. You don't want any of that. I'll tell you what, Mr. Paiush, that's his name. Hey, Paiush, why don't you get on the blower and call BP and ask them to get their asses out there and save your coastline? You crybaby bastard. All over television, huh? All over television, talking about federal help. Ooh, where's the government? Where's the government? You phony little right-wing Republican conservative punks. Every single one of you. You vote Republican, or you Republican office holders, damn you. Damn you, you two-faced hypocrites. There, I feel better getting all that out. Scum suckers. Deregulation, huh, you right-wingers? You want more of that, Republicans? How about more, huh? Yeah, more deregulation. We don't need it. We don't need safety devices on these oil wells. We don't need safety regulations for food. Two more miners dead in Kentucky. And the mine over there, how many violations do they have? That's right, you Republican scum. You want more of this, don't you? Of course you do, you freaks. And small government, huh? You want more small government? Well, then, Jindal, shut your goddamn mouth. Excuse me, shut your mouth. Quit crying and whining from the governor's mansion in Louisiana about you want some federal help. Why? You don't need federal help. Man, drill, baby, drill. Well, you got it, you right-wing Republican scum. You got it. You got exactly what you wanted. The aftermath of Dick Cheney and deregulation and small government and get out of the way, quit stomping on the Constitution, all this stuff you punks have been talking about. What are you going to do now? Tell me, what are you going to do now, you thumbsucker? I'll tell you what you can do. Put on your camo outfits and go run around in the woods and pretend like you're going to shoot the commies that are coming over the next hill. You dirty scum suckers. We'll be back after the break. I think we'll be back after the break. We'll be back after the... There we go! It's time once again for podcast trivia on the Malloy program. It is where you can win a 1 year's subscription to commercial-free downloads of the Malloy program for your iPod, your L-Pod, your M-Pod, N-Pod, anything you want to download it to. All you have to do is answer the question correctly. Are we ready to play? Yes, we are. Let's start with Jason, who's in Bourbonnais, Illinois, listening online. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Mike.
Are you ready to do this?
I am.
Are your palms sweaty? Are your stomach got butterflies? Anything?
Just don't want to miss the answer here.
Oh, okay. Well, don't let me throw you off, okay? You ready? All right.
Okay.
Here's your question. Sarah Palin recently testified in a trial against college student David Kernell, who has now been found guilty of what crime against the ditzy chick? Was it A, hacking her email and posting it on the internet? B, trying to impregnate one of her offspring? C, putting on YouTube a video in which he impersonated a college reporter and asked her tough questions she couldn't answer? Or D, creating the infamous photograph of Sarah in a patriotic red, white, and blue bikini brandishing a rifle?
I believe the answer was A.
A? That's your final answer. You win! All right, Jason. That's good. All right, Jason, don't go away. I'm going to put you on hold. Kathy's going to get the pertinent information. Congratulations,
pal.
All right, man. Hold on. There you go. All right. Anybody else holding on for podcast trivia? Well, that's it for tonight. Maybe some of our benefactors out there might want to send in some more podcast gift subscriptions. We got a couple the other day. All right. Occasionally, we are going to start giving what we call the Crazy Bastard of the Week Award. This is going to be to the right-winger, the conservative, self-described conservative, who most personifies a crazy bastard in the previous week. We'll be giving this periodically, not necessarily every week, although we could probably give one of these every hour. But we have two winners tonight. It's odd. The first night we're going to do this, and we come up with two winners. Here's your first one. Maggie in Mount Shasta, California, called my attention to this. She writes, wow, anything goes on right-wing radio these days. Let's make up a good line, blast it all over the airwaves again. You ready? The oil platform disaster now unfolding in the Gulf of Mexico was caused by eco-terrorists to celebrate Earth Day. That's ruthlessly brilliant Rush Limbaugh's idea. Only in your evil mind, Rush, could you think up something like this. It's kind of like when people thought Bush and Cheney let 9/11 happen, which is much more likely to be the actual truth. But, Rush, you didn't like that one, did you? This latest and very gross talking point is an example of the Karl Rove blaming others for what you're guilty of yourself. Just what right-wing radio loves to spew constantly. But in reality, there is no eco-terrorist anywhere who would think it productive to cause this kind of environmental devastation just to prove a point. Environmentalists have a totally different mindset than Carl, Rush, Cheney, Glenn, and all your loyal followers. They're not willing to cause harm to others for financial gain and notoriety. Only the right-wing ideology could produce such a talking point about who caused this horrid disaster. So, let's hide the truth, like you hypocrites always do. Don't let the public know that Halliburton is obscenely negligent for their practices running the Gulf oil platforms. An automatic cutoff valve, which would have been more costly for them to install, could have saved lives and stopped this entire disaster. These valves are used in most northern European rigs for safety reasons, but Halliburton needs to cut costs. Bottom line, profits, you know. Corporate profits and agendas always trump public welfare, don't they? Maggie in Mount Shasta, California. So, Crazy Bastard of the Week award goes to Limbaugh. He would win them every week. And the second one, ta-da, the runner-up, is John Boehner, the House Minority Leader. Boehner, according to Boehner, he said today that House Republicans could win 100 or more seats in this fall's elections. Boehner's Oh, my God. Boner said he believes there is no seat that the Republicans cannot win during this election cycle, judging by Senator Scott Brown's win back in January special election in Massachusetts. Boner said during an appearance on National Public Radio, that figures, quote, let me remind you that Scott Brown won the Ted Kennedy seat in Massachusetts. If Scott Brown can win in America, there isn't a seat in America the Republicans can't win. How do you like my tan? When pressed for a number, Boner said he believed the Republicans could win as many as 100 seats in this fall's election. Woo! At least 100 seats, Boner said when asked how wide the playing field for districts is. I do, he answered when asked if he thinks there are 100 seats in the U.S. Senate could change hands. 100 seats. Is that right, Boner? I wonder if he'll be around after the November election. I mean, a leadership position. Oh, my God. Patricia writes, my good interview with Pap. I'm sure you'll stay on the story. I'm so upset about the place I love the most, the Gulf Coast. I can't help feeling suspicious that this could have happened on purpose to damage the Obama administration. Kind of like the levees breaking, the two unnecessary wars in 9/11. I would not put anything past these evil bastards, Patricia. Yeah. It's incredible. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal declared a state of emergency for Louisiana and called for the federal government's help in averting an environmental disaster. Oh, dear. Oh, my. This little right-wing puke calling for the federal government's help. Well, that's not going to sit very well with his dumbass Republican Freedom Works people, is it? Huh? Is Glenn Beck going to run down to Louisiana? Is Sean Hannity going to go down and hold a fundraiser for all the people who are going to die from toxic oil poisoning? And then will Sean Hannity steal the money the way he does with veterans, dead veterans' wives and children? Huh? Is Rush Limbaugh? What's Limbaugh going to do, you filthy pukes? What are you going to do, huh? Oh, Bobby Jindal wants the federal government's help. Oh, why? Federal government can't do anything right, Bobby. Federal government can't do anything, Paiush. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you your American name, your English name. That must be very offensive to you to be called an English name. After all, that the people in your nation went through to throw off the English yoke. So, Paiush, are you actually saying you want help from the federal government? Why? Isn't that contradictory? Ah! Ah! You filthy hypocrites. You filthy hypocrites. Every single one of you blubbery right-wingers, you whiny Republicans. Oh, my God. Houston Chronicle. As oil begins washing up onto Louisiana shores, teeming with wildlife and weather-threatened cleanup efforts, President Barack Obama today insisted that energy companies will have to employ new precautions in future offshore drilling to prevent a repeat of the Deepwater Horizon rig disaster. Obama says he has ordered Interior Secretary Ken Salazar to conduct a, quote, thorough review, end quote, report back within 30 days on what safety steps can be taken to prevent accidents like the one that's unfolding now. Mr. President, with all respect for the office that you occupy, there is nothing that can be done. You can tell companies like BP and Halliburton to put on, include shutoff, emergency shutoff valves, which will lessen the damage. But there's nothing that can be done. You're going to drill in the Gulf of Mexico. There are already 800 platforms out there now. This is part of the cost to the American public of doing business. Exxon Valdez, how many years ago? What happened? 89? 21 years ago. And the disaster still is unfolding because of the Exxon Valdez in Prudhoe Bay. And now this, was it Prudhoe Bay? No, it wasn't Prudhoe Bay. Oh, never mind. Don't email me. And now this, you heard Mike Papantonio tonight. This disaster is, it's going to be the largest ecological disaster in the history of the United States. And you can bet your ass that about 80% of the blame goes back to one Dick Cheney, who sat down with the oil company executives in his private meeting and said, you don't have to pay any attention to any of these stupid-ass environmental. As far as Pat Lay, he is concerned, F him. Just go out there and do whatever you want to do. Make sure I get my check. Put it in the numbered Swiss account run by UBS. But you don't have to pay any attention to this stuff. Forget these goddamn liberals. They don't mean anything. I'm so kind. And I'm so cruel without you here beside me. Unbreak my heart. Say you love me again. Undo this hurt. Come and walk down the door and walk down in my life.
Well, if your baby leaves you, you gotta tell the tale. Just take a walk down lonely street to Heartbreak Hotel. Well, you'll be, so you'll be so lonely, baby. Well, you'll be lonely. You'll be so lonely, you could die.
Go, go!
Yeah. 10 before the hour. And then there's this. President Obama today directed that no new offshore oil drilling leases be issued unless rigs have new safeguards to prevent a repeat of the explosion that unleashed the massive spill threatening the Gulf Coast with major environmental damage. I've got a better idea. You should excuse me, Mr. President. God knows I'm not trying to tell you how to do your job, but instead of saying no new offshore drilling leases to be issued, how about declaring that they all have to stop now and be checked for the very device that Halliburton refused to put on, or BP refused to put on, the platform that exploded? To hell with future leases. Mr. President, act like a president, okay? Tell them to stop until those devices are put on the rigs. No? Not going to do that? Okay. Whatever. Meanwhile, Florida Governor Charlie Crist, newly an independent, declared a state of emergency in the state's panhandle coastal counties. It's one place left in Florida that I would still go, take my family. I stopped going to Florida years ago. The East Coast beaches suck, every single one of them. You get below Tampa and St. Pete, they suck, every single one of them, because of all the rich people who have screwed up the shoreline, built their condos, walled off access to the beach, yada, yada, yada. So the only place left was the so-called Forgotten Coast. Those of you who have been to St. George's or Cape San Blas or further on out towards Pensacola and beyond, you know what I'm talking about. Those beautiful white sand beaches and the sand dunes out there. Charlie Crist has declared a state of emergency in Escambia, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, Walton Bay, and Gulf counties. Those last three, Walton Bay and Gulf counties, are the counties that... Oh, well. Obama ordered Interior Secretary Salazar to report within 30 days on what new technologies are needed to tighten safeguards against oil spills from deepwater drilling rigs. Obama said at a Rose Garden event today, quote, "We are making sure any leases going forward have those safeguards," unquote. Yeah, yeah, good for you. Good for you, Mr. President. Just like Papantonio said tonight, the devastation, economic, environmental, spiritual, he didn't say it, but the spiritual damage that'll be committed in the name of these filthy, stinking, just, be careful now, don't say things that'll get you thrown off the air. These filthy, rotten corporations, the damage that they do, whether it's in mines or in coal mines, asbestos mines, copper mines, drilling onshore, offshore, factories that produce batteries and leave environmental disasters, textile plants in this country that use dyes, and then when they leave, they don't bother cleaning up. These sons of bitches, every single one of these corporate predators who continue to do this over and over and over. And as Mike Papantonio pointed out tonight, have you heard anybody in mainstream media reporting the really serious story about how this was all engineered during the Cheney years? This was all put together by Dick Cheney and George W. Halfwit Bush. No, you don't hear that, do you? Back in February when Palin said at a national tea bag convention, how's that Hopi Changey thing working out for you? I'd like to ask the hoe from Wasilla a question. How's that drill, baby, drill thing working out for you? She doesn't care. None of these teabag bastards care. They're in it for the money. They're all in it for the money. You know they're in it for the money. They are working these poor, ignorant Republican teabag freaks for all they're worth. It's a money scam. People like Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Sarah Palin, every one of these filthy Republicans that owns a microphone or uses a microphone on radio or television. How much longer? What's it going to take? What's it going to take? Two illegal wars didn't wake you people up, you right-wingers, you Republicans. Torture didn't wake you up. Environmental disasters don't wake you up. Miners dying because the mine company had hundreds of violations. None of that wakes you up. Are you people just terminally brain dead? Is anything going to wake you Republicans up? Don't you realize what your party and your mindset and your philosophy, you scumsuckers, are doing to this country? You don't care. You don't care. I said it before and I'll say it again. Conservatism is a terrorist philosophy. It's a terrorist movement. The Republican Party is a terrorist organization. And every one of these right-wing apologists, like Beck, like Hannity, like Limbaugh, they are terrorists. They are killing people. They are destroying the planet. They are doing everything they can to find favor with their corporate owners. And what do? Do we finally get pissed off enough to do something to make these people stop? What's it going to take? What's it going to take? Huh? What's it going to take? How much death and destruction before we say that's enough and move on these bastards? How much is it going to take? What's it going to take? Huh? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. A lot of stuff that we wanted to cover tonight we're not going to get to because at the last minute we decided to ask Mike Papantonio to come on the program and chat. But there's... found this. Kathy found this one, actually. The Arizona legislature, people in Arizona, you people live in Arizona, I feel sorry for you, unless you're one of these conservative Republicans, and then you're just having a field day, aren't you? You're just having great fun out there. How about this? It says here, after making national headlines for a new law on illegal immigrants, the Arizona legislature passed a bill yesterday that would ban ethnic studies programs in the state that critics say currently advocate separatism and racial preferences. That's what Arizona represents, separatism and racial preferences. The bill, which passed 32-26 in the state house, had been approved by the Senate a day earlier and now goes to Governor Jan Brewer for her signature. The new bill would make it illegal for a school district to teach any courses that promote the overthrow of the U.S. government, promote resentment of a particular race or class of people, are designed primarily for students of a particular ethnic group, or, quote, advocate ethnic solidarity instead of the treatment of pupils as individuals, end quote. Yeah.
Can I just ask which cultural class anyone's ever had that taught how to overthrow the U.S. government? I would love to know
what
that one's called, because I never saw How to Overthrow the Government 101 anywhere in my college syllabus. Or
the Arizona legislature, both houses, are asylums. They are. They're just absolute crazy asylums. The bill stipulates that courses can continue to be taught for Native American pupils in compliance with federal law. Schools that fail to abide by this new law would have state funds withheld. State Superintendent for Public Instruction Tom Horn called passage of this bill a victory for the principle that education should unite, not divide, students of different backgrounds. My God, the way they twist this stuff around. Is there anything that Republicans don't twist into some misshapen glob that totally destroys the meaning? Is that what ethnic studies does? It divides people? You crazy bastards. You crazy bastards. Horn claims the ethnic studies programs encourages ethnic chauvinism, his words. It says it promotes Latinos to rise up and create a new territory out of the southwestern region of the United States. And ethnic studies programs tries to intimidate conservative teachers in the school system. Arizona, just an absolute madhouse, a hothouse of crazy people. It's not just Arizona. They're just leading the way. I'm going to leave this guy's name off. He says he went to a town hall meeting April 6th, conducted by Republican Congressman John Fleming, and the comments that my emailer sent me concern a natural gas operation in northwest Louisiana. And my correspondent writes, Mike, I recently attended a town hall meeting given by my representative, John Fleming, who's a Republican. One topic addressed was a natural gas operation in the area where I live. In the same vein that the current oil spill in the Gulf takes, as far as cutting costs on safety devices, The representative said that the liberals and socialists want to add so-called safety measures to each natural gas well that will cost $100,000 per well. He said that this was only to drive costs up in relation to solar and wind energy costs. He then went on to ridicule solar and wind power and gave the numbers of years it would take to recover initial solar and wind costs that seemed way out of bounds. Filthy, filthy terrorist bastards. Every single Republican office holder is a member of a terrorist organization, the Republican Party, that wants to destroy and beat this country into the ground. Every single one of them. There are no exceptions here. Not even the sainted two women from Maine. Every single person who is a Republican office holder is part of an international terrorist organization centered in the United States that seeks to destroy this country and to export terrorism to every single country where we have a military presence. That's what they are doing. And damn near all the Democrats do too. But the Republicans are the one who have made a career out of lying, sneaking, cowardice. Oh. Sanchez is in Montbello, California. Hey, Sanchez.
Hey, good evening to you, Senor Malloy. As much love as platonically as possible, I send to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Tonight, great minds are thinking alike. Ever since Mike Papantonio came on and did his interview with his conversation with you, I swear to God, right now I have six pages of notes that I've made, and one by one, Mike, you've been picking them all off, so I'm going to go with the points that you haven't covered, but the one that I wholeheartedly agree with, first of all, that I want to kick off with is exactly this. Why doesn't Congress immediately, this very second, order a requisite shutoff?
Really?
All of these platforms, I mean, including the ones off California, Alaska, anywhere that an American company has an oil rig, and if those people do not have those fail-safe mechanisms on there, shut them down this moment. Because as you were saying before, these people are practicing terrorism, but the oil companies are practicing terrorism against Mother Earth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, I've been listening to you, Mike, since what? 2004, I think, since your Air America days. Mike Papantonio was talking about connecting the dots. Remember when he said that?
Yeah.
At this point, we have connected all the dots. I'm sitting here with a piece of paper, and it's all black. All the dots have been connected.
Mm-hmm.
The point I want to make about the corporations here, we have to start thinking about this. You're asking, what's it going to take? Well, sheeple, you got to think of it this way. The politicians and the corporations are addicted to money and profits. Much like you see a New York junkie in the alley addicted to heroin, that's how these corporations are. They're addicted to money and profits. Now, what the sheeple don't realize is that we are the heroin dealers. We can shut that supply off ourselves if you only stop and think about something like that. Remember when Poland had their strike back in, what was it, the 19th? Lech Walesa led the strike?
Mm-hmm.
What was their phrase? Do you remember?
No.
Solidarity.
Oh, yeah, that was the name of their organization. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Solidarity.
Sure.
For once in your freaking lives, pull your heads out of your butts. This thing in Arizona, the same thing. I've been on Facebook, on blogging all over the place, and that's the only thing I've been putting down is solidarity boycott. Me, I live an alternative lifestyle. I'm probably one of the oddest birds listening to your radio program right now. I walk to the ghetto market. I walk to the burger stand. I walk. I use public transportation. Why? Because my own conscience will no longer allow me to put nickels, dimes, and quarters into the oil company's pockets.
This is
a prime example as to why, sheeple, you should stop.
I hear you, Sanchez. I hear you loud and clear. Thanks, pal. We got a break. I appreciate what you had to say. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
21 past there. I got an email here from Mike Papantonio, the quote about praying that he attributed to Attorney General Holder. Actually, it was made by the Alabama Attorney General. He wanted me to correct that. Troy King. Here's what he said. I guess this is a press release from the Alabama Attorney General. Troy King announced today that efforts have been underway by his office since the explosion at the Deepwater Horizon drilling platform to ensure Alabama has a strong response that protects the Gulf Coast. Attorney General King, yada, 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 is in contact, whatever. And then down here, yeah, this is not a time for class action lawsuits and profit taking. This is a time for preparedness and prayer. Together, the attorneys general from across the Gulf Coast, listen to this, will seek to memorialize the commitment BP has already made to protect Alabamians, their property, and their business for the losses caused by BP. So it was the Alabama Attorney General Troy Davis, Troy King, who made the statement about this is not the time for lawsuits, it's time to pray. Hallelujah. Yeah. Get on your knees. Where is Pat Robertson to tell us that Paiush Jindal's state of Louisiana is being punished because there are too many gay people in New Orleans? That's the reason that the well blew. From Jeanette. The image, imagery of Jindal and Miss Drill Baby Drill out on rowboats sponging up the mess cracked me up. Of course, they won't have to do that, but that's what they deserve. And Obama's energy plan isn't helping. More drilling, more nuclear power plants. I know he can say nuclear correctly, but who cares about it if he creates more plants? Obama campaigned strongly on alternative energy, including the fact that investing in it would create more jobs. What happened to that? Is there a reason, in light of the mining and drilling disasters, that he can't push for a mandate that from now on all cars produced must be hybrids, hydrogen vehicles, or completely electric? The government could give consumers who can't afford to buy them some type of assistance, then all the right-wingers would bitch about government takeovers and social redistribution of wealth. And then she says two words here that I can't say. Regarding Papantonio, I love listening to him. Southern accents usually make me want to drive ice picks into my ears, but his I enjoy. Unfortunately, because Ring of Fire is not on every day like you and Stephanie are, I often forget to listen. I love Bobby Kennedy Jr. too. Haven't heard much of Dave Bender. What's it going to take to turn things around? I don't know. These dumbass tea partiers are mad at the wrong people. I'm afraid they're too dumb and incapable of independent thought to change, though they are capable of parroting talking points and slogans. And some more from Jeanette. Thanks, Jeanette. I appreciate it. Barry is in New Hampshire listening online. Hey, Barry.
Hi, Mike. I'm very. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm great.
Good.
And I'm so glad that everything worked out yesterday for you folks.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. I want to remind everybody listening. Hey, sign up for the podcast.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. And you know, I was listening to Brad Friedman yesterday, and he had a really valid point about the label conservative.
Mm-hmm.
We really legitimize what a dynamic that I think has changed in this country a long time ago. Really, Democrats are new conservatives. What Republicans have done, they've abandoned any type of real political philosophy. What they do is they will adapt themselves around whatever it takes to keep themselves in power. They don't have any fealty to the Constitution. They don't have any fealty to law, ethics, ethical behavior, or anything.
Right.
All they care about is their own power base,
right,
and continuing themselves in office and in power. And to call them conservatives, really, it's sort of disturbing to me. I consider myself to be sort of conservative, even though I'm extremely a leftist at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Sure.
Because I work for a living. Okay?
Sure.
I have a job, and I, I agree. I'm part of the machine. So I'm part of the capitalist machine. I go to work. I make a living. I pay my bills. I'm conservative. I don't go out and commit crimes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't steal from other people to make my life better or my family's life better. I stay out of other people's business, including their personal life and their personal religion. And that's what conservatism used to be about.
Yeah,
right. It used to be about things like, hey, we want to regulate stuff so that it doesn't damage what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And they've lost all of this, okay? And what's happened is that they just jerk around from issue to issue. They'll grab on the gender issues with the gays, the lesbians, and the transgenders, or they'll grab on the race, or they'll grab religion.
Mm-hmm.
But anything they can, they'll grab anything they possibly can to ramp up hysteria in their right.
That's right. And the moral bankruptcy of these people, Barry, is just beyond belief. And let's not forget the first two syllables of the word conservative. Hey, thanks, Barry. I got to move on. Thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back. Before the hour. Yeah, I get it. Every bit of the bumper music tonight are songs related to heart.
But I can't find any by heart.
You can't find any by heart, huh? Michael in Roswell, worth a reminder, the entire annual budget of the nation's only dedicated renewable energy national laboratory is equal to about 40 hours of war in Afghanistan. But the oil companies might get a pipeline out of the war, so it's worth it, right? Not only do the oil companies privatize the profits and socialize the environmental risk, but they also get a huge indirect subsidy from the government in the form of military assistance whenever and wherever they need it. Why pay for your own security when you can borrow the U.S. military anytime it's needed? Yeah, it's pretty bad. Pretty bad. Andy is in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hey, Andy.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
You hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, I think, really the pertinent question is how much oil is in that borehole because it's going to end up exhausting itself. That's the only way it's going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any idea exactly how much there is down there?
No, and that's what we were talking earlier tonight with Mike Papantonio.
I listened to that. Yeah,
yeah. There's no way to know. Don't
the oil companies pride themselves in explaining to us exactly how many billions of barrels are going to be here and there? Do they not know what they have dug into?
I don't think they know what every well will produce.
Right.
They can tell what a field, so-called, might produce.
Right.
It's my understanding, but each individual well, I don't know how they would do that, but I would be willing to bet that it's an awful lot. They're not going to go to the expense that they do go to, although it's cheesy the way they do it, and sink something, you know, 5,000 feet down under the ocean,
right,
unless there's a lot of oil there. So that's a very good point that you bring up. The amount of oil that's going to come gushing out of there, who knows?
I fear that and really I honed in on this within days of this thing happening, but there is no way they can plug it. There's no way. And it's going to exhaust itself. And I think that this is going to color really the next 50 years.
Oh, God.
That's my sense of it. The earth is bleeding.
It is. It is.
Thanks, Mike. It's really good to talk to you again.
All right. My pleasure. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it. I mean, what a thought. I'm just glad that this is going to sound very selfish, but I'm just glad that, Kathy and I had a chance to take Molly to the Gulf beaches a number of times since she's been a little kid. Well, she's still a little kid, but you know what I mean. I'm glad she had a chance to go into the Gulf. I'm glad she had a chance to look at sand dunes. She always wanted to climb up the sand dunes, but, you know, we told her, no, 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 you can't get up on the sand dunes. She was able to see wild sea oats. She saw porpoises. She's seen all this kind of wildlife. She's seen stingrays. She has helped me fish, standing on the beach and throwing a line in. She's seen huge manta rays. She's seen those sunsets that you see at Cape San Blas in the Panhandle. And my grandchildren have seen it. And of course my adult children. But I'm glad that Molly, who will turn six this summer, I'm glad she had a chance to see all this, because it's becoming more and more apparent that we are destroying everything. And by we, I don't mean just Americans, although we certainly are doing our share to cut the very heart out of this planet. Papantonio was talking earlier tonight about the younger generation, 18 to 35, turning this around. I hope that's the case. But, you know, having a little kid at my age is really made me take a look at things that normally, when you reach my age, you don't really think about them that much. I mean, you are concerned. I know a lot of aging baby boomers are still concerned about issues that we were concerned about 45 years ago. But I notice with my friends who are within, you know, 10, 15 years of my age, either side, that they don't have the concerns that I have, because I have a 5-year-old kid. And it's not that they're not concerned, it's just that I don't know. I don't know what the difference is. You know what I'm talking about, Kathy? You know, it's just having Molly, and I'm sure anyone who has a child 4, 5, 6 years old, I mean, you don't have to be an old bastard like me. No matter what your age is, if you have a 5-year-old kid, what are they going to have 15, 20 years from now? You know, my unasked for advice is, no matter what you have to do, if you have a kid that age, take her or him to see what a coastline looks like, to see what ocean waves look like. To see what it's like to walk on a white sand beach and pick up seashells. I mean, do it. I know nobody has any money. Nobody has time to do it. But you better do it. You better do it so that when your kid is 20 or 30 or 40, he or she will at least have some kind of a memory of this stuff. It's a hell of a thing to say, isn't it? Jonathan is in Malvern, PA. Hello, Jonathan.
Yeah, our natural resources will be protected as long as their destruction doesn't indirectly or directly serve the campaign of a politician. The only reason why we go to war for non-existent WMDs or let oil rigs operate in places where they can destroy our coastlines is because politicians benefit from the contributions from the companies that run the operations in those places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that simple. I mean, nothing will change. You know, politicians will, of course, be like, oh, we'll change the rules here or there around election time. But, I mean, what else happens when it's not close to an election that actually benefits the people of America and not just the corporations?
Mm. Yeah, no, I get your point.
I mean, do you think that's right?
Yeah, I do, of course. I mean, that's what we talk about on this program in one way, shape, or form every single night.
I mean, at least you're not, you know, for the most part, talking to Republicans because they're two-step people, and you're talking in, like, four steps. They're not going to understand a thing. I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, it's not like if you read, like, Tolstoy or Dickens or any of these books that have been around for, like, 80 years, you know, you'll notice that all the lessons that we need as humans are in those books.
Sure.
But it's not like they're being either comprehended or...
Well, no. The you know, the conservatives in this country, the Republicans in this country, especially the rank and file, they are subscribers to a death cult. There are two things in this country that are seeking to end everything, that are all about death and destruction. Fundamentalist religion, in this country that would be Christianity for the most part, fundamentalist religion and conservative political thought. These are death cults. These are ideas that seek utter destruction, total annihilation, in order to fulfill some kind of madness inside the heads of the people talking about this. Religious fundamentalism, in this country that means Christianity, and this conservative orthodoxy where it concerns political or economic thought, these are death cults. Death. And when you spend any time at all listening to somebody like Beck, Glenn Beck, or Sean Hannity, or Rush Limbaugh, not Hannity so much, he's just a little parrot that likes to steal money from the families of dead soldiers, but the real evil bastards in this country that are on radio and television, if you listen to them, you understand, it doesn't take too long if you still have a working brain, that they are trying to convince everybody in their listenership to commit suicide, spiritual suicide, ecological suicide, political suicide. Conservatism is a death cult. Republican Party is a death organization.
Keep me in your heart for a while.
Regarding the oil well, this is vis-a-vis that caller that said about it running dry. The oil well won't run until dry, just until pressure is relieved, but they can pump cement into the well to seal it. It will take at least a month to bring a platform to start on the work. Cementing around the casing to seal it to the ground, I guess the sea bottom, so that it doesn't leak, was the process that they had been doing recently. You can then run the pressure way up to do rock fracturing, before pumping operations. It apparently had a blowout of the tube at the surface that caused the explosion on the platform. The wellhead on the seafloor was damaged by the out-of-control platform trying to drag the drill tube and casing back out of the ground as it drifted away from the site. There's supposed to be a breakaway point that keeps this from happening, but apparently they used a cheap one that didn't work. They saved $500,000. Yeah, they did. Matt is in Minneapolis listening on KTNF. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. Sometimes I talk to Republicans when I can't avoid it, and I ask them, what kind of a country do you see? And now we see recession, a depression, say what you want. How many wars are we in? Two, three, unknown. Billions, trillions of dollars gone. And ecological disaster. Can you imagine if McCain and Bible Spice?
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I mean, I've been to Pensacola. I was stationed there.
Mm-hmm.
These are some of, for the next 24 hours or so, the finest beaches probably in the country. If you just want to relax and the white sand, you know, you've probably been up there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They, oh, God, yeah.
The whole place is going to be destroyed forever. They will never recover.
I know.
It's just a catastrophe. Anyway.
Well, and it's not just, you know, Pensacola, that whole area that, you know, those white sand beaches that you're talking about, I don't know any place in the United States where you find them like that.
No, they're unique. They really are. They forget about the wildlife and on the ecological catastrophe. I mean, I say that facetiously.
There are a couple of state parks down there. There is one, the Cape San Blas State Park. That's a state park, right, Kathy? It's not federal. What is it?
It's the St. Joe State.
St. Joe.
Peninsula State Park.
Yeah, because
it's on Cape San Blas.
Because it's right near Port St. Joe. If you know, you can take your car so far and then you have to stop. They have signs, no cars beyond this point. Of course, there's no road. And there is a trail that will lead you out to sand dunes. Some of those sand dunes are 30 feet high, 40 feet high of this white powdery sand. And as you work your way, they have designated trails that don't disturb the dunes. And as you work your way down to the beach, now this is an area where there's nothing out there. I mean, it's just wild beach with seashells and, but if you go down there and just stand on that beach and look out, you can see sea life all along that. I mean, porpoises anytime you want to, but especially out on that point, it's just unbelievable. I've not seen anything like that. No matter where I've traveled, there are beautiful beaches in Puerto Rico, but they're just beaches. There are beautiful beaches in Hawaii, but they're just beaches. This is astonishing. And when this blowout occurred, that's one of the first things that Kathy and I were talking about. Oh my God. If it hits along those counties, along those beaches, we have lost something that will never, I mean, it's gone forever.
It's just gone forever.
Gone
that
forever.
Sand is so fine.
Oh, it's like powder. It's like talcum
it's
powder.
Like sugar. It's just really unique, and it's just a shame. It's
yeah.
Terrible. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate you checking in. Somebody named Lo Knox. Am I supposed to? I guess I'm supposed to send a message to somebody in the chat room named Lo Knox. Here, buddy, this is for you. Steve is in Austin, Texas. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Mike. Great to hear all the good news about Kathy.
Thank you very much.
And hearing you talk about taking Molly down there, and I got St. Joseph Park there, around that little J, reverse J hook.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's just gorgeous. Like I said, I've never seen a place like that.
And everything west of that, again, like the previous caller, it's just sugar sand. It's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the thought of it going away, and fortunately, my wife and I had a chance to take our young teenage daughters there back, oh, geez, now 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and they got to see the same thing.
Yeah.
They got to swim with dolphins. We rented a boat, and they got to swim with dolphins off our boat, not at some dolphin park, but just in the wild.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was great. And it's a damn shame it's going to turn the Florida Beach, well, everything, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, it's going to turn it into Texas Beach, where you dig down 6 inches and you find the last layer of oil.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Steve, I sometimes don't any longer know what the hell to think about this stuff. I don't. Hey, Steve, thanks. We're flat out of time. Appreciate you checking in, pal. We'll see you Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. Just like